Ladies and gentlemen, we have within our tents sights that will amaze, such freaks of nature to take the breath away and make you wonder, how can this be? Inside, you will see Jojo, the dog-faced boy, Patrick, the Irish giant, Hairy Mary from Borneo.
That's my wife you're talking about.
Down, cheek!
Quite proper, madame. How dare a wee nyaff with that cast aspersions on your beauty?
All right!
But, poor Mary is a tangled conglomeration of hirsuteness which will excite pity and terror in equal measure. And to follow, Anita, the living doll, the fat woman of Paisley.
Same old stuff as last year.
I shall present to you the wee pretender, a midget dressed as Prince Charlie, perfect in every detail. Bendy Bendy, the India rubber man. Eliza, the skeleton girl.
You're paying good money for that rubbish.
I realise, sir, that to see the ugliest man in the world, all you have to do is look in the mirror each morning. But, if for nothing else, I would ask you to put your hands in your pocket to gain entrance and witness something never seen before. A sight so beautiful and tragic that it will stay with you the rest of your life. The Little Mermaid. The body of a maiden, the tail of a fish. She combs her long red hair, looks in her mirror, and dreams of the day she will return to the great ocean. In the quietness of her grotto, she waits and dreams. The water trickles down her skin. The rocks tremble beneath her touch. But once the land has claimed you, there is no going back. She drifts like a ghost between worlds. Her face is sad yet full of beauty. The tune she plays is the melody of a lost life. She can never return home.
The poor wee lassie.
She can never return home.
We are a mystery to ourselves and each other. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and quite properly recognized as such, but who knows what secrets I hug to my bosom that may change me in the twinkling of an eye. I might become a criminal, a libertine, or even join a Masonic lodge. Who can tell? It is the witching hour. I should be asleep, but too much coffee has put paid to that possibility. So now, rendered unable to partake of the communal slumber, I torment myself with unprofitable thoughts. Most thoughts are unprofitable. I thank God for boundaries. Otherwise, you'd spill out all over the place like a leaky bucket. And yet, I have to admit, I am intrigued. Who is this stranger at the other side of my door, the uncanny visitor who may strip the certainties of this existence to the bone and reveal it to be no more than a mirage? Should I curse the bringer of such insights? Should I keep the door firmly closed, or should I open it and then arrest him where he stands? An attic room in the parish of Leith in the city of Edinburgh may not be the perfect place to have such thoughts, but I am having them anyway, and maybe it's the coffee I should be cursing. But one thing strikes me as a fierce proposition. When that weird world collides with yours, our thing changes shape. Madness dances in the wind, and the devil joins the party. And he aye plays the prettiest tune.
Colette! Wait!
Provide me a reason.
I am not in your condition.
Very few are. Such a rare feast.
Now, I am your slave to command.
Slaves litter my life. I want something stronger.
I will give you the earth.
I have been promised that before. Do you see? The moon has come out to join us. Now that's what I call a partner.
Colette! Colette! If you leave me by myself, I'll starve in the wilderness.
Come on, Loco.
Not born for this. I'm a sedentary fellow.
How did you get out there?
I swam.
Was the water not cold?
As the grave. Now, what I must do is dress my hair with a golden comb, sing my song, and lure the sailors onto the rocks to be destroyed. Come join me.
I cannot swim.
How sad.
Your clothes will be wet.
This is my element. One day, I shall return where I belong.
Where would that be?
There's the problem.
I can help you.
Mortal men and their promises. What do you offer?
Everything money can buy.
How much money?
Everything I have. I will die for you.
That sounds promising.
Fine morning, sir.
Is it so, Mulholland? Is it so? When I passed by the Leithlinks, did I not see the fair?
You did indeed.
Freaks and mountebanks. Nathan but mischief.
You're not in a good mood, sir.
I slept badly. I hoped when old Henry Steele died, that would be the end of it. But no, his daughter Martha stepped into his boots, a most unbecoming pursuit for a woman.
What about your friend Jean Brash? She keeps a body house.
All Jean Brash and I share is a penchant for decent coffee.
Well, everybody likes a fair.
Well, I don't. When I was a wee boy, my Auntie Annie took me to one and I got lost. Ended up in a tent with the exhibits. A man with no arms and legs. The human torso.
What did you do?
Howled.
And what happened to him?
I don't know. He was Russian.
MacLeavy, I want a word.
Your servant, I, Lieutenant Roach.
The British Linen Bank at the top of Leith Walk. A possible theft.
Robbery.
The manager will explain. His name is William Telfer. His pew just behind mine in church.
You worship together, sir. That's good.
Accounts may have been rifled. It strikes at the very heart of things.
You seem perturbed, sir.
I am indeed, Constable. It's where Mrs. Roach and I keep our savings.
I'm sure your fortune is safe.
And where is yours?
Under the bed.
Why am I not surprised? All possible speed, Inspector. Bank accounts are the very bedrock of our society. They must remain quiet and undisturbed, like sleeping beauty.
I don't know how you drink that stuff.
It is the finest coffee, Hannah.
Very fragrant. The cold soaks. Where shall I put the cake?
On the table. Equidistant from the two fine ladies.
Right enough. There you are. Don't break your teeth on it.
Thank you, Hannah.
She hasn't altered.
Hannah Semple. She keeps the keys and I would trust her with my life, but she lacks certain social graces.
You've come a long way, Jean Brash.
And so have you, Martha Steele. I remember the first time I saw you, holding on to your daddy's hand, just a wee girl, though he dressed you as a boy.
I haven't changed.
Nonsense. You're a fine-looking woman.
Too big. Like a freak. Too big. The first time I saw you, like a princess covered in feathers.
Professional attire. Your father had no right to bring you to that place, the Happy Land. It was a dive, rough and tumble.
Oh, he all looked after me. And I knew every nook and cranny.
So did I. One of the girls.
And see you now. A grand house at the top of Leith, the Just Land.
Premier body house in Edinburgh.
And you own it.
A woman of affairs. Fingers in many pies.
I thank you for putting that business my way.
You show it, they want it.
You've made a killing out of love.
I wouldn't call it love, exactly.
Comes in many guises.
Don't tell me Cupid has stuck his arrow in your backside.
I'm afraid so.
Who is it this time, Matty?
Whoever will leave me twisting in the wind.
This must be in strictest confidence.
Is Lieutenant Roach's fortune safe?
Of course it is.
That's the main thing. Carry on.
A sum of money has been misappropriated from one of our client's accounts. In cash.
Did they not notice?
They are solicitors.
What kind of sum of money?
£2,000.
That's no small beer.
Do you have a suspect on hand, sir?
George Rennie. One of the clerks. He handled the account.
Wheel him to us, then.
He did not come in for work. We found a discrepancy and sent bank detectives to his lodgings, but he had disappeared.
Bank detectives? They couldn't find the castle in broad daylight. You should have reported this at once.
But it was so hard to credit. Rennie is such a stooped sort of creature. The perfect employee. His soul was in the accounts.
Perfect, right enough.
We'd never have the nerve. Someone has persuaded, or even blackmailed.
Has anything happened with the man in the past months might provide a hint, Mr. Telfer? Anything unusual?
It's one thing, but I know it's too stupid.
Stupid is fine.
One of the big shops nearby, Templeton's, they had a window show to drum up business. From the fair, a mermaid.
A what?
A mermaid. In a tank, swimming. Well, you couldn't see much. The light was dim, green. Maritime, I suppose. She sat on a rock. But you could swear there was a suggestion of bare flesh near the region of the fish tail.
Bare flesh?
Under the red hair which tumbled from the shoulders. I never looked that close myself.
Who did?
George Rennie. One of the clerks told me every lunchtime, every minute of the day he could, Rennie spent looking in that window.
George Rennie had indeed vanished from the face of the earth. We checked his lodgings in all known places where the man was wont to go, but not a trace. All were agreed that he was a meek, feeble creature, bent double in apology for being alive, his only defining feature a moustache that looked as if it had died on his face. Not exactly the stuff of which embezzlers are made, but that would seem to be what he had done, and he would suffer harsh consequence. What had caused the man to change, to risk all of an admittedly miserable life, but all he had, in such an act? He would seem to be a soul of conformity, save for the predilection towards sea fairies. So, back we went to the big shop. The manager remembered the lank Shilpit bank clerk slavering through the glass. The whole installation of the mermaid had been overseen by Martha Steele, and no one had ever seen the sea creature arrive or depart. It had all been shrouded in mystery, but he confirmed that she was showing at the fairground. He considered his establishment to be above such window dressing, but it had been another's idea, one of the large investors in the business. He was a touch reluctant to give the name, but give it he did, eventually.
Jean Brash, what are you doing here?
Same as yourself, McCreevy.
I doubt it.
Oh, and it's the big constable. How are you, my fine man?
Very well, thank you.
Look at the size. I know in proportion, I'll wager.
He's dying to take you round, Hannah.
I am not.
His treat.
My lucky night. Come on, constable. I want to see Hairy Mary from Borneo.
Sir!
You only live the once, Mulholland. All the fun of the fair.
And where shall we go, McCreevy?
Oh, there's only one place for the likes of you and I, Jean.
Is she not beautiful?
What you can see.
When I was a wee girl, in the gutter I came across this broken toy, a mermaid. She had but one eye.
That's a pity.
I kept her as long as I could. When she was taken from me, I cried the most bitter tears.
Well, you got over it.
I often see myself so, like a mermaid. Part one world, part another.
Templeton's, that big shop in Leith Walk.
Yes.
The manager tells me you put money in.
He had no right to disclose.
I was persuasive. You also.
What?
Persuaded him to put that wee creature there in his window. Why?
Marty Steele is my friend. I thought some free exposure might help.
No other reason?
What could there be?
That wee beauty behind the glass. I need to talk with her.
What for?
She might assist an investigation. Crime. You know the sort of thing, Jean.
I know the sort of thing.
Hairy Mary, my backside. There was a monkey dressed up.
Women's clothes, but undoubtedly simian, sir.
You'll have to get past Matty Steele.
I'll do just that.
Always on the case, McCleavy, eh? Never smell the roses.
Oh.
Well,
She's combing her hair. Is that no nice?
It's a big comb.
A lot of hair.
What's she doing now?
An Irish harp. For the knee. You couldn't have a big one on that rock. The Siren's Song.
Watch your wee boat, MacLeavy.
Sorry about the monkey, but I am a genuine specimen. Cross my heart.
Where's your tail, then?
I slip it off and on, as occasion demands.
Huh. Were you washed ashore?
What?
Mermaids usually are. Stranded.
That's me, all right, in my wee caravan.
Is your hair for real?
Touch it and see.
What do you want, Inspector? We have a public to entertain.
With your freaks of nature, Miss Steele. In the window of that big shop, waggling your tail, did you happen to remark a strange, stooped individual?
I did. Every lunchtime, nose pressed against the glass. A sad, sorry specimen.
That would be him. George Rennie. You know that name?
No.
If you paused.
I was thinking.
Colette is a great thinker.
Did you exchange words?
How could we? He on one side and I the other.
Stranded.
Afterwards, perhaps, when day was done.
I spoke to no one. Martha is very jealous of my privacy. Besides, he was not my type. I prefer them tall and handsome, like the constable here.
Well, I wouldn't describe Mulholland so, but I suppose given what you see day to day...
You mean the freaks? The grotesques? The ugly gargoyles with their hideous growths?
You exploit them, Miss Steele.
I make them a living. What would they do else? Walk the streets? Be spat on, sneered at, mocked and stoned? At least with me they have some dignity.
Though the crowd roars at them, ma'am.
Perhaps. But they also look in wonder. And they pay good money. My freaks can live. They eat well, they drink, play cards, laugh. Some of them even fall in love.
I'll dance at the wedding.
I could put you up there with them, Mr. MacLeavy. The two of us. We wouldn't seem out of place.
I'll keep it in mind. Well, I expect your public is waiting, Miss...
Bonner. Colette Bonner.
Was it the Irish coast?
What?
You washed up on.
Somewhere like that.
Come away, Mulholland.
Inspector, this man, George Rennie, what has he done?
He is a criminal. I shall bring him under. You sit in a fish tank. I lay down the law.
Each to his own.
Every cripple has his own way of walking.
It's getting very Irish in here. Come away, Mulholland, before you revert entirely.
When you leave the caravan, be careful of the steps. They're treacherous.
I'm used to that.
Tall and handsome, eh?
And I have found one.
Oh, have you now?
His name is Alexander, and he is great in all senses.
Over here, sir.
I can't see a thing.
Lack of night vision. Not enough carrots.
Carrots be damned. You have the lantern, no? Ah! There you are.
And here it is.
What remains?
The revenue cutter spotted him on the rocks. We managed to drag the body this far.
What is that?
Constable Baxter's being sick.
Right enough.
Took a terrible pounding from the rocks.
I've seen prettier sights.
Not even his own mother would know him.
Well... let's see if the corpse has anything to say for itself.
Baxter! Get a grip of yourself and bring over the sheets.
A pocketbook? That's promising. Well, well.
What is it, sir?
According to this, the owner of, it would seem our skinny malinky bank clerk, has come back to haunt us.
Aye, it was George Rennie right enough. Shape and size, but...
oh, not even his own mother.
Upsetting, I know, William, but identification must be made.
The all that was left was wee bits of moustache. But it's him. Divine retribution.
In what way, sir?
Well, he stole from the bank and the good Lord punished him.
Ah. And what did the good Lord do with the cash? There was nothing on the body.
Oh, what a disaster.
Perhaps the fishes have it.
Rich fish.
Well, that would seem to be the end in any case. It's another body on the slab.
Did you see his nails? All crushed and broken. He must have clung onto the rocks, clinging for dear life till the good Lord reached down and smashed them off into the depths of hell. Crushed and broken.
I saw them right enough.
This Sabbath we will bow our heads, William, and give thanks to the Almighty.
Aye. It's a pity about the money, though.
How did he end up in the sea?
By escaping, with his ill-gotten gains.
Or his head bashed in by an accomplice, who then threw him to the waves, in which case, it's murder.
You're never happy, are you, MacLeavy?
It's faintly possible, though.
But if so, find the killer, and the bank might yet be recompensed.
You're not saying much,
sir? I'm thinking, Mulholland. I think best when I'm on the saunter.
And what are you thinking?
Faintly possible. What do you mean, faintly?
Balance of probability, sir.
There's nothing faintly about it.
The man is dead. His secrets are his own.
Not while I'm alive. Wait now. That couple. Just out the tea shop.
Big man, little woman, common enough.
I recognise her.
How could you? More veils than Salome.
I know the wriggle of that fishtail anywhere. Miss Bonner! Colette Bonner, I have you in my sights.
How did you... I am hidden from the world. How did you know me?
A policeman's instinct.
In that case, I had best reveal myself.
Ah, what a pretty sight. Here, red as smoked herring.
There must be a better way to put it.
I was being gallant, Mulholland. What do you think, sir?
I'm not an expert on herring.
Constable, Inspector, may I present my friend, Alexander Macbeth, recently returned from the New World.
Macbeth? That's the name to conjure.
Where in the New World?
Chicago.
What were you doing there?
Making my fortune.
In what?
Beef. Chicago is full of Irish. They're no match for the Scots.
I don't see why not.
He is teasing you, Constable.
I assume that you hide from the fear of being discovered.
What?
From your public.
Indeed. And if you will excuse me.
A word before you take the veil. Your friend, George Rennie. We have found him.
Really?
On the shore. Head bashed in. Face a mask of blood. Skinned like a rabbit. What a sight.
I'm sorry to hear it.
How long are you going to be in our fair city, sir?
Well, that depends.
On what?
Events.
A mask of blood.
Dreadful. But as I said, I hardly knew the fellow.
And even a mermaid cannot be held responsible for every drowned man.
Who said he was drowned?
Well, you mentioned the shore, I assumed.
You assumed correct. Oh, you'd make a fine detective.
Thank you. We must go, my dear.
We must indeed. There, now I am myself again.
I light you in the open, ma'am.
Circumstances dictate otherwise, Constable.
Goodbye, gentlemen. A most stimulating conversation.
Till we meet again, Mr. Macbeth. Till we meet again.
He's a smooth one, all right.
Very smooth. He shaves close.
What?
Never mind.
I don't like him.
Now, Mulholland, you must not let personal feelings distract investigative instincts.
And what about your instincts, sir?
They tell me there might be more to Mr. Macbeth than meets the eye.
What shall we do now?
We shall part company and meet later this night.
Where are you going?
I am going to break the rule of a lifetime and buy a drink for other folk.
Did you kill him?
Not at all. Nature beat me to it.
Tell me the truth.
I merely took advantage of a situation. You should be proud of me.
What you did was no reason for pride.
He didn't feel a thing.
So you say.
People die. People are born. You should know.
So I should. God help me.
The last night of the fair. Make a good show, and leave it all behind.
That is the bargain.
I shall be waiting in the harbor. Our boat will set sail, and we'll never look back.
The money won't last forever, Alex.
Plenty more. In the new world, you and I will shake it from the trees.
Crushing me. And it's the middle of the street.
I was overcome by love.
Well, save the impulse. It's a long voyage.
I shall be waiting.
So be it. After this night. all things change.
Here's the Cupid. Blind as a bat.
Sharp wee arrows, though. Oh, is the whiskey too strong?
No, no. Perfect.
You don't have to glog it all at once.
I'll remember that next time. Oh. Nice garden. Nice bedroom.
Thank God for sinful men.
What is it?
I was just brought to mind the time your father was otherwise engaged and you hid his trousers in the soiled laundry basket.
I thought it was funny.
I don't think he did.
No. But if I'd been a boy, you'd have laughed.
Time to open shop, mistress.
Same here. My freaks await.
Give my regards to Harry Mary. I like the India rubber man, though. Bendy, bendy. Who knows what he could get up to?
Hannah, you're a woman of the world.
That's myself, all right.
You can tell me. Love, how deep does it go?
Depends what you mean.
Answer the woman's question.
Well, it always starts from the eyes, but then the eyes look somewhere else.
You mean it's changeable?
Just a passing fancy.
Well, I thank you for that. Jean Brash, I kiss your hand. Like a braw gallant. Thank you both for the education.
She's gay strange, that big lassie.
Her father was a charmer, but he took his pleasures elsewhere. He brought Matty to the various houses he frequented.
That's nice.
He would dress her as a boy. He always wanted a boy.
She'd be safer that way, anyhow.
Wouldn't you be too sure about that? Anyway, she grew up part one thing, part another.
Like a sea beast.
Like all of us.
Can I ask what we're doing here?
Observing.
Observing what?
Events.
But nothing's happening. The fair closed hours ago.
Then we'll wait a few more. It's comfy on this wee hill.
It's freezing. If this fog gets any worse, we'd see nothing anyway.
Aye, the sea har. That could complicate things.
What are we waiting for, sir?
I have an instinct that the answer to all this lies in that caravan down there. The Little Mermaid's caravan.
An instinct.
I was in the tavern earlier, where the bank clerks congregate.
Broke the lifetime rule. Bought them a drink.
Not all. Just Rennie's colleagues. One of them told me something very interesting.
Such as?
Such as has brought me here.
I don't suppose you could break the other rule of a lifetime and tell me what is on your mind.
That would be too much to ask. Wait. A figure there. Can you see?
Could be Colette. Big bag she carries.
A travelling bag, perhaps.
There's one more, look, at the back, dogging her footsteps. Tall enough, could be Macbeth.
We'll follow also. Let us join the dance, Mulholland.
Where are you, sir?
Over here. Damnation!
What?
I just put my foot in a bucket of water. At least I hope it's water.
This damn fog.
Oh, the caravans and such. It's like a labyrinth.
And we are lost within it.
Money McGuire, what was that?
From the window over there.
Go look and see. Stand on the wheel. Well?
It's the monkey. Harry Mary.
What?
Does she have a caravan all to herself?
Come down from there. I'm going mad. Like when I was a wee boy and got misplaced. We have lost our quarry and found a monkey. Madness! Madness!
Don't panic.
I'm not a panic.
From a ship only, in the harbour. Foghorn.
The harbour? Come on, Mulholland! It's worth a try.
Collect! You didn't say goodbye.
I don't like goodbyes.
Oh, so you just leave?
I do indeed.
You think so little of me.
I didn't ask you to form an affection. You did that all by yourself. Now you must deal with it all by yourself.
I'll deal with it.
You're a decent sort. More's a pity.
I've rarely been described so.
The way to your heart is simple. Mine is all twists and turns.
Can I carry your bag?
I'll manage, thank you.
I cannot entreat.
It would do no good.
Then we must say goodbye. You may not like it, but it's all I have left.
Come close. I am a mermaid who has been washed ashore. I must return home, and you must let me go.
Then go. A sight so beautiful and tragic, ladies and gentlemen, that it will stay with you the rest of your life. The little mermaid. The body of a maiden, the tail of a fish. She combs her long red hair, looks in a mirror, and dreams of the day she will return to the great ocean. The tune she plays is the melody of a lost life.
As Mulholland and I made our way to the harbour, the fog grew so thick you could cut it in lumps. A pair of tarry breeks staggering from the tavern told us there was indeed a ship bound out for the New World early tomorrow morn. Her name was the Melusine, and while we walked up the pier towards a mooring, we passed a woman who sat there like a statue. Like a statue, save the tears rolling down her face. Mattie Steele, in the hell of a private misery. Bess left undisturbed, though it showed we were on the right track. Even misery has its uses. We came to the ship, and the officer confirmed that there was indeed a cabin booked to a couple answering the description of the ones we sought. But the cabin was empty, and back we went on deck. The fog was making ghosts of us all, but towards the stern of the boat we found them. Colette Bonner and Alexander Macbeth, side by side. He handed a thick pocketbook, no doubt stuffed with the cash, to his light of love, and stood in front of her, fists clenched, handsome, smooth face set in defiance. But she was serenity itself. I wonder if anything ever surprised that girl.
Good evening, Inspector. To what do I owe the honour?
Murder, embezzlement, that sort of thing.
You have to prove it.
Easy done. That pocketbook you handed her. But it'd have £2,000 within.
Less than that?
You can make it up.
You can put down your dukes. You're not in Chicago now. I have my stick.
He is my hero. Are you not, mister?
I am indeed. And I can smash them to the ground.
Then do it. Do it now.
One blow, Mulholland.
Oh!
I'll hold. You've cuffed a hero.
Sir, look.
There's no escape, Colette.
Oh, yes, there is. I may return to my mother's bosom.
Dive to that sea, it will kill you.
I am of its element.
There's no need, ma'am.
He's right, Colette. A pretty girl, the judge will go easy.
But Beth can get all the blame.
They'll cut off my red hair. They did it once before. Goodbye, Inspector. Such a pity, you on one side, I the other.
Do it, my darling one!
Shut up, you! Oh.
Goodbye, Inspector. It's a long way down.
I can save her.
Save what? She's gone. There's nothing but deep fog and an ice-cold sea.
But, sir...
She'll freeze to the bone. Her clothes will drag her under if nothing else does.
You will never find her.
She is dead.
You will never find her.
But I have you to recompense me. Do I not, Mr. George Rennie?
And how was your night in the cell, sir?
I had fleas for company.
Good.
So, Inspector... You found me out.
I had suspicions.
You might have shared them.
They weren't much. The nails of the corpse were black and battered, but the ends of the fingers seemed broadened, calloused. Those of a working man. To follow that, the eyes, you did a good job on them, but...
Nature did the job.
The sea had washed them near out, but the remnant was brown. I checked with your fellows in the tavern. George Rennie's eyes, like yours, Mr. Macbeth, were slate grey. And another thing. They told me meek he may have been, but Rennie was a great mimic. He could take off any voice.
Is that all you could garner?
Then there was the matter of your own skin.
Oh, my goodness. Down to the bone, eh?
I noted that the area above your mouth was a wee bit different from the rest. Pinky.
He shaves close, you said.
Uh-huh. A colour such as you would get if you removed the moustache that had been there for many years.
Still not much.
Enough to get us to that hill. And all else followed.
You were plain lucky. Just plain luck. Good for you, bad for me.
So, how did it all come about, Mr. Rennie?
George Rennie merely rented this body. I own it. You will address me by my proper name. The name I chose for myself.
Very well. Alexander, how did it all come about?
She changed me.
In what way?
Every day I was there. Every night at the fair, such devotion intrigued her. We walked by the sea. Then, one night, it all changed. I would never be the same.
How come?
Let us say, she shot a spark into my soul.
Witchcraft?
Passion. She created it. In me. And for that, I will be eternally grateful.
So you went embezzling?
It was our only hope. To escape.
So you straightened up, brushed your hair, shaved your face, bought fine clothes, found a new voice, and walked out proudly. Unfortunately, you broke the law first.
The law?
I live by it. There is also the small concern of the dead man on the shore.
A gift from God.
What?
Every night I waited for her. I walked by the sea. I found him lying there, a vagrant, drunk and fell in the water. The shape and size of me, even to the moustache. A gift from God. I walked into the waves, soaked to my clothes, everything, then changed with him. I shivered in the cold, put my pocketbook to his body, and then he was dead, you see? Far gone, dead. Nature did the job, but I had to finish him off. Make him so that he looked like nothing. So I picked up a rock and...
smashed it down.
It was necessary to escape.
You sure you did not give nature more than a helping hand? Pick the man out, follow him, kill, and then do the rest.
No, I could not. Of course, do such a thing. I thought you would be proud of me. You must believe me.
The judge is the person to whom you might address that plea.
I thought she would be proud of me. Now I have lost her.
Oh, the body will turn up. Eventually.
You will never find her. I am all alone.
You've always got George Rennie.
I cannot go back to him. That creature.
He is you, sir.
Never. But he waits inside me. I can hear him. Waiting. Yes, Mr. Telfer. No, Mr. Telfer. I'm so sorry, Mr. Telfer. It's all the fault of that wicked woman. I'll die for you, my darling.
Lieutenant Roach, a moment, sir.
Ah, Mr. Telfer.
A fine sermon.
If a trifle long.
Well, you have to hammer it home.
The minister certainly does that.
Tower of Babel. What a message, eh?
Ah, indeed.
Man must never strive further than God intends. To wit, I can still scarce believe it.
An understandable attitude.
When I went to identify the man, for sure this time, he laughed in my face, in his own bank manager's face. Demented.
He does seem somewhat changeable.
Demented. I don't suppose there's any sign.
I am afraid not.
Never mind. She may yet rise to the surface, bloated with my money.
Anything is possible.
But if not, what am I to tell my superiors?
My advice is to tell them for what it is worth that the whole thing, from beginning to end, has been a complete mystery.
So, the fair has left town.
and Matty's broken heart will mend. She will find another mermaid.
No doubt, but George Rennie's a different proposition.
Do you think he did kill the other?
Oh, who knows? It might well have been an accident. The courts will decide. Good coffee.
All the way from Guadeloupe?
I wonder if the little mermaid is floating with the fishes.
She may be on dry land.
They search most of the night and all next day. No one can survive that sea.
You never can tell.
I can.
Mistress, the man's here about the goldfish pool.
I'll be up directly, Hannah.
Goldfish pool?
Uh-huh. In honour of recent events, I thought I'd have an ornamental pool put into the garden with big fat fish.
What if a heron comes calling?
I'll shoot it. Anyhow, you never know what you might find swimming around in the water. You never can tell.
The mysterious ocean. It stretches all the way from Leith to the New World. The mermaid may yet reach her destination. George Rennie, however, may always drift between two identities in a single body. The one he detests, the other racked and tortured by his thoughts of a lost love. Never mind. The Perth Penitentiary has a cure for all known ailments. I came across a poem by James Hogg, a good man in a crisis, entitled The Mermaid. This wee stanza tickled my fancy. O passions deadlier than the grave, are human things undoing. The maiden of the mountain wave has lured me to my ruin. You could look into Colette Bonner's eyes, into the depths, and she would take you further and further from the safety of the shore. How did she do it, I wonder? How did she effect such a change in that crushed soul? Or perhaps was it more that Alexander Macbeth was just waiting to be born, the stranger at the door? You must hold the mind fast. You must always be on guard, like a policeman in the darkness of the night.
In MacLeavy, The Sea Change by David Ashton, you heard Brian Cox, Siobhan Redmonds, Michael Percival Maxwell, David Ashton, Colette O'Neill, Shirley Henderson, Wendy Seeger, Stephen McNichol and Simon Tate, and the producer was Patrick Rayner.